also work with Sarah at Sharp, and she is also credited on this presentation, so she's ready for all your questions. At Sharp, we have a multidisciplinary team of scientists, and we work together to identify occupational health projects. I work with a great team like Sarah and Claire and Dave Bonato, who's on this as well. And so we do a lot of surveillance projects, and I personally work, I collect the occupational health indicators for Washington State. I work on the BRFIS and some other surveillance for specific conditions as well, like amputations and hospitalized burns. And so our latest efforts have been to work on creating this new surveillance system focused on immediate inpatient work-related hospitalizations, which is kind of word salad, so I'll just refer to it probably as immediate hospitalizations for the duration. And I'll briefly just describe the methods and go over a few results. So SHARP strives to provide information for action to our stakeholders, and that includes workers and employers, as well as safety professionals and others, legislatures, including the governor. And SHARP was called upon to develop a measure and provide some reasonable goals to reduce work-related hospitalizations for this governor's initiative, Results Washington, which provides a strategic framework for safe, healthy, and prosperous Washington. And they did include some worker safety stuff, and so credit for the original development of the measure goes to Sarah, who just spoke. And since we were already looking at hospitalizations for other issues, we're able to look at multiple data sources and provide some baseline rates and suggest some reasonable target goals. Another reason or benefit to focus on immediate hospitalizations is that the reporting is required. So Washington State is a state plan. We have the Division of Occupational Safety and Health, or DOSH. That's our state version of OSHA. And we require reporting within 8 hours of the fatality, inpatient hospitalization, amputation, or loss of an eye, whereas for Fed OSHA, the requirement is 24 hours. And so looking at immediate hospitalizations could be valuable for states that are interested in evaluating kind of the completeness of employer reporting and seeing how those numbers match up. So immediate inpatient work-related hospitalization is defined as an inpatient hospital admission within 1 day of work-related injury in Washington State. And they're targeted because while they comprise only a small portion of work-related injuries and illnesses in Washington each year, they tend to be those that are extremely serious, severe, disabling, and costly. And a note about the definition, it's day-based, not 24-hour-based. The data sources that we used were linking workers' compensation data to hospital discharge data. So a little bit about the data sources. So we get workers' compensation data because we're located within the Department of Labor and Industries, and we work with the Health Department in Washington State to get the comprehensive hospital abstract reporting system, the CHARS hospital discharge data, and then we match them with a multi-step linking algorithm. So in Washington State, a little bit about the workers' comp data for those that aren't familiar with it. Non-federal employers are required to obtain workers' compensation insurance through the Department of Labor and Industries. That covers about, through the state fund, that covers about two-thirds of workers. And there's approximately 450 self-insured entities, which are companies or groups of companies that meet requirements to self-insure. And some of their information is not included in the state fund. It's not the same as what's included in the state fund, so when I look at some of the results, some of that will be limited to just claims that are in the state fund. But for linking, we looked at both state fund and self-insured. Workers' compensation claims in Washington State can be categorized in several ways, primarily as accepted or rejected claims. And so for linking, we've focused just on the accepted claims. However, claims can change over time and switch status. So you'll see in the results for the full year of 2014 data, there's like one or two claims that ended up rejected. They were not when they were matched. And then medical-only versus compensable claims, we did not limit to that. Compensable claims are those that result in payments beyond medical benefits. so partial wage replacement, disability, or death benefits. And we included both of those groups for matching. For workers' comp data, we looked at the workers' comp injury data in the quarter of interest, but hospital discharge data doesn't usually have the injury date, and so the injury may not have occurred also in the discharge quarter, so we're looking at the three quarters preceding the earliest hospital admit date. So the CHARS data contains coded hospital inpatient discharge information derived from hospital billing systems, and it collects things like age and sex and zip code and the billed charges of patients as well as the diagnosis codes and procedure codes. And by default, that's going to exclude inpatient hospitalizations in non-Washington hospitals. It also excludes the VA and military hospitals. So then we reduced the data set to one claim, one discharge, as some injuries have multiple admissions and discharges as they get transferred to different hospitals or readmitted soon after, and so we're looking at just that earliest admission. And then we're including those that are linked. So we're excluding unlinked records like hospitalizations for work-related injuries that did not result in a claim. And by definition, we're excluding hospitalizations two or more days after the injury. And the linkage algorithm, which we'll look at in the next slide, it does allow for some differences in values between the data sources. And workers' comp as an expected payer from the hospital discharge data can help establish a match, but it wasn't a necessity. It's not required for a match. And a note on the data availability, when we established the system, we got the extract of data from 2003 through the second quarter of 2013, all in one big fell swoop. And then from that time forward, it's carried out as a quarterly extract and linkage process. And because the hospital discharge data is usually available 6 to 7 months after the end of each quarter, those claims linked to that first extract had more time to develop. And so when we look at the rates in a minute, you'll see they had more time to develop, and so that might explain in part the greater number of hospitalizations that were identified in the earlier part of the study period. So to link them, the first step was looking at the hospital discharge admission and the date within one day of injury of workers' comp claim, plus a match on all five variables listed. Next, kind of going to the next level, matching on that injury date plus a match on four out of five variables, and then down to the next level being admission within one day of injury plus matching a name and expected payer, and then some manual review, because that step has a little more wiggle room. The hospital admit date was it must be the same day as injury or one day after. That was one thing that was definitely required. There was no wiggle room in that. And we used data from both of the sources to describe the population. All right, so a big chart. Here are the results of the initial linking as well as some of the quarterly extracting through 2016 quarter three. So supposed to give you one line at a time, sorry. The first rate, which is the blue line, which I don't know if you can see very well, but it goes up and down quite a bit. That's the adjusted hospitalization rate. That's industry adjusted. And you can see the quarterly variation as well as the overall decrease over time. The next line, which is kind of hidden in there, is the green line. And that is the four-quarter moving average of the adjusted rate as well as the linear trend. That's the line going down. And then the black line that's kind of right in the middle is that baseline rate, which was 34.8 per 100,000 FTEs, and that was based on the four-quarter moving average industry adjusted for fiscal year 2012. That was the baseline. And then the target rate is the red line, and you can see that it was initially 30.5, and then in 2016, as rates are going down, it was adjusted down, revised to 26 point. And the hours for this are based on the state fund and self-insured payroll data reported by employers. So for 2014, which is the first full year of data coming just from quarterly extracts, there were 668 immediate work-related hospitalizations that were linked to workers' compensation claims in Washington State in 2014. The construction industry had the largest percentage of claims, and we'll go into that in a minute. The most common event or exposure was falls, and the most common nature of injury was fractures, and that's coming from the Occupational Injury and Illness Classification System codes, the OIPS codes, and those get coded onto the workers' comp claim when the claim is filed. Hospitalizations peaked in the third quarter of the calendar year, and the observed immediate hospitalization rate was 27.7 per 100,000 FTE, which is just a little bit above that goal rate of 26. If you look at the breakout by accepted and compensable, you see that they are very highly compensable. So that's claims that had more than just medical only paid. So 92.5 is a much higher proportion than if you look at all workers' comp claims that were filed with an injury date in 2014. Kind of that overall breakdown, there was about 150,000 total claims in Washington in both the state fund and self-insured. And of those, 85% were accepted, and only about 26% are compensable overall. But if you look just at these immediate hospitalizations, they are much more severe, and so they are getting they are compensable at a much higher rate. And if you look at the total days of inpatient hospitalization stay and total days of time loss paid, those are significant numbers. That's a lot of person time. And it reflects the severity of the work-related injuries that lead to these immediate hospitalizations. So these results will all be in a technical report that's going to be published by the end of June, and then the goal for that is to have annual data released thereafter to describe these injuries. Here's the age distribution. If you were in the plenary, the guy did not like pie charts. But we try to keep things pretty simple to reach a vast audience. And so here's the age distribution and some rates. Here are the denominator data for the rates by age come from the Census QWI data. And you can see males have a higher rate across the board and seems to be a little bit increasing towards older ages as well. If you look at the breakdown by industry, as I mentioned, construction by far was the leader. And this is by North American Industry Classification, that NAICS book that sits by our desks, assigned to the employer account. Agriculture, forestry, and fishing also made up a significant part, as well as manufacturing. So the leading type of injury, which we'll get into in the next couple of slides, across most industries was fall from elevation. So then if you look at the detailed six-digit industries, things like new single-family housing construction and roofing contractors and residential remodelers are the leading industry, detailed industries within the sector, and they each have over 70% fall from elevation. And in comparison, in agriculture, we see fall from elevation is the leading injury type in things like apple orchards, but it's only about 36%. So here was the major type of event or exposure. Some of the detailed causes were fall from ladder in fall from elevation. In struck by, it's fall struck by falling object, with the leading source of injury being trees and logs. But that's driven solely by the NAICS for logging, and we have a lot of logging in Washington. And so we have to pull them out sometimes if we're talking about agriculture, which I'll mention briefly. Caught in injuries were the leading type in manufacturing, and some of the sources for that, the leading detailed event was being caught in running equipment or machinery, and the sources were like conveyors, presses, chippers, and bandsaws. And the leading nature of industry was fractures and fractures in other industries, and that again is different from the whole pool of workers' comp claims filed with an injury date in 2014. That's usually only about 4% fractures or fractures in other industries. So here you can see some of the details. This is by industry sector. again, logging is the only one of the major ones that had different from fall from elevation. And then if you look at by detailed occupation, you can see a little more difference. For instance, if transportation sector overall, it's fall from elevation. But if you look at just truck drivers, transportation accidents. So it helps to have this pool to look at, and then you can look at more detailed. Employer characteristics, just a little bit about that. The majority, as you can see, of immediate hospitalizations were workers employed in businesses with over 100 FTE, but those only make up about 2% of employers in Washington during this time period. Most of our businesses have less than 5 FTE, which also had about 20% of the hospitalizations. But this suggests the need for some different approaches for injury prevention, looking both at our common small businesses as well as those large ones that have quite a bit of hospitalizations, and some of those large ones also had more than one immediate hospitalization. About 53% had some DOSH activity in 2014 as well. In comparison, looking at some of the indicators that do also look at hospitalizations, but very differently. Indicator 2 is all work-related hospitalizations. That's kind of a bigger number, as well as Indicator 22, which looks at a prescribed list of acute traumatic injuries. And they both rely on payer in that CHARS data to be workers' comp. So if you look at our immediate inpatient hospitalization surveillance, we do capture that subset of very interesting 8% that have a payer, expected payer of other than workers' comp. Other populations of interest, we were asked to provide some information for agriculture, where we pulled out logging and we just focused on crop and animal agriculture. I think I'm presenting on that at Weston, so, or you can look it up on the SHARP website, and you can also sign up if you're interested in seeing the full report or asking technical questions. You can look at it there, sign up for our e-newsletter, and you'll be apprised of when we publish that. Thank you. One question.
Can you link this with all the mental disability or social disability? You look at the hospitalizations that go on, certainly with applications if they still end up often with chronic disabilities. I'm just wondering, are you able to track which events are more likely to end up in sufficiently severe hospitalizations that they end up with after the event is over, chronic or total disability?
Yeah, we can look at, we haven't yet for this data, but we're just in the beginning of starting to dive into it. But yes, we can look at those claims and see how they develop over time. And definitely by injury type, there's some differences in how long things go on and what kind of disability may occur.
Thank you.